January window is over, Liverpool still marauding its way to a title, and the TFC FPL table is in complete disarray. Welcome to another episode of The Football Corner, Mancha's very own home for all things football. My name is Vikram.
And I'm Shreyas.
If you guys are new or old, you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts, Apple, Stitcher, Spotify, Google, Castbox, and more.
And don't forget to follow us on all social media, that's at Mancha Podcasts.
So Shreyas, lots to talk about, let's jump right in. Why don't we do a quick recap of the January transfer window? Much more calm. I don't know if that's English or not, but calm compared to the January windows of the years gone.
Right.
I think the highlight of the window was the deadline day transfer of Bruno Fernandes. Yeah. Finally, in Manchester United, after what feels like 7 years, but it's probably like a year and a half. Good move.
I think an insane move, just to see how... I don't want to say the word spineless, but that's exactly what they've been in center midfield.
Wow.
Yeah. And I think the prospect of him doing a thing with Pogba right side by side, I think that's going to be super lip-smackingly scary.
You know, so I'll be honest, I haven't seen any full end-to-end games with Bruno Fernandes in. I've only seen his career via highlights and stuff.
Yep.
And what I could ascertain was that he's more attacking than defensive, correct?
So what we know of Bruno Fernandes from his Lisbon days, as much as his attacking attributes show, you know, those final passes, taking shots from outside the box, he actually has played a lot more deeper. Almost transitioning defense to attack. So he'll actually collect the balls from the center backs. And instead of the usual sideways passing, looking for your wing backs, looking for your wingers, he actually has great body balance. He can run with the ball. He has a good shot, good eye for the final pass. So he'll actually make that transition, move closer to the forward and actually start things, which is why he's such a capable player. I remember Jurgen Klopp drew... With Lisbon preseason. Fernandes came out of nowhere, scored 2 goals. And Jurgen Klopp actually said, like, this guy needs to be at a top team. Like, I don't wonder why anyone hasn't bid for him yet. And lo and behold, he goes to United. Is he that answer? I don't know. I think the prospect of him playing with a Paul Pogba side by side or up and down is going to be insane. But for that, Pogba has to be fit. He has to be up and ready. Pack that up with a Scottish Terrier Greyhound in McTominay behind, and I think United are all of a sudden going to look a little bit dangerous the second half of the season.
Well, that's pretty interesting. You said initially was that he's played a deeper role in Lisbon, but it seems like his strengths are more suited to just play as a number 10 or something like that. I feel like that's how the game started with Wolves.
Yes.
They played Pereira and Fred back, and correct. Then they had him. But by the time the game was over, I felt like Fernandes had spent more time just sort of replacing positions with Pereira, and he was playing alongside Fred.
Right.
Which seems a little counterintuitive given the skill set he has. But I guess it's more important for the defense to link up with attack.
Yes.
In United right now.
Right.
It's also going to be interesting. You mentioned Paul Pogba, but it seems like if Bruno Fernandes is going to play that deeper role,
right,
then it's competition for Pogba, because now
yes.
It's Fred, Pogba, McTominay and Bruno Fernandes up for those roles.
Yes.
So is that a catalyst for Pogba to leave Manchester United?
I don't know. I mean, we know Zidane's a big fan of Paul Pogba. We know
so
that.
So is Juventus.
Oh, that'll be a weird deja vu, or rather deja chu.
Bring it, man. I'd love it, dude. Pogba and Cristiano Ronaldo all day.
Nice. But I don't know. I think it just puts everything so beautifully into momentum for Solskjaer, for Pogba, for United, because just seeing him play, even though it was his debut for United against Wolves, and Wolves are no slouches, we know that. For him to want to be...
It's also weird that he was playing against Wolves, because he probably makes more sense to be in the Wolves team.
That's so funny you said that, because when they were exchanging shirts, there's a photo of him wearing a Wolves jersey,
yeah.
And he looks like disappointed. And they were like, Bruno Fernandes, United's after him for like a year and a half, finally happens deadline day, plays one game for United, and then switches to Wolves. But yeah, like I was saying, I mean, he's literally a catalyst, and... Without Pogba, without McTominay in this team, he was trying to make it happen himself, which is why I think we saw him go a little deeper. He wants to see more of the ball. He wants to have things happen around him. And United exactly needs something like that. They've spent insane amount of money on defense. They're still sorting that out. Maguire's finally living it up. He's captain. With Rashford's injury, now does Martial and the wingers, Daniel James, along with the Fernandes, is that the answer? Well, we'll just find out. We have a few months.
I think another thing that United or Solskjaer particularly needs to iron out is with Martial and figuring out what the ideal position for Martial is. Martial is determined to play a center forward, but it's clear to see that he's maybe their best winger.
You know, that's so weird, because if a Rashford is fit, and no disrespect to Rashford as that number nine role, he's literally, like, United have piggybacked on him.
Right.
De Gea is disappointed. The signings have not turned up as quick as they could have. Pogba's been missing as usual. The team's been in disarray. Come Spurs, come City, they'll beat everyone left, right, and center to save his job. But with this Rashford injury, I think my ideal team would be Rashford on the wing, Daniel James on another wing, Martial absolutely number nine, Bruno Fernandes behind them, and maybe a Pogba and McTominay to help with that. And I think that's my perfect attacking lineup for United.
Yeah, on paper, that's evidently the best. And we saw glimpses, especially during the first few weeks of the season, of this potent Rashford-Martial combo and how it could work.
Yep.
But Rashford, even before the season began, he said, listen, I'm going to play wherever my manager needs me to. I'm happy to play anywhere, even if it's like a CDM. He didn't say that, but he alluded to it.
Right.
Which essentially meant that, okay, we have this one guy, Anthony Martial, really talented wing player, but a good center forward as well, no doubt, and a good poacher in the box. But because he wants to play center forward, Rashford just played the team game. He's like, I'm not going to whine about my ideal position. I just want to play whatever I'm allowed to play and help this team.
Right.
And it's evident with Rashford's effort, man. He was playing through a stress fracture.
Yes.
Like, no athlete does that, regardless of where your team is. So it goes to show how much commitment he has to Man United.
Right.
So it's always good to have a player like that, especially for a manager like Solskjaer to fall back on.
Right.
I don't know if this team on paper is going to translate as well. I guess we need to see a couple more Bruno Fernandes 90-minute games to sort of understand, A, if he's settling in, and B, what his ideal output to the team should be, right?
Yeah.
If he's good in both of those positions, then it's kind of bad news for the other guys who are playing this defensive midfield role.
Yeah.
But I would much rather prefer he inserts himself into the forward line, and so that, you know, the Pereiras and the Lingards and the Matas, where they're good players, but there's been so much over-reliance on them from United.
Right.
That needs to go away a little bit as well.
Right.
I feel like Pogba and McTominay on their best days are actually good. Fred's actually shown up.
Yes.
Ever since Pogba got injured, Fred's been maybe their best player.
Right.
Consistently. So it's not like that position, the defensive midfield, is what's aching right now. I think it's a forward line and then actually just going through with the attack. So I'm pretty curious to see how this pans out. I'm glad that it's worked out. Because now, as Rashford's gotten injured, so there's one thing there. But if Rashford wouldn't have been injured, Solskjaer would have no more excuses left.
Yes.
Right? And it's not like he loses 5 on the trot and beats a City. I don't think that's also in left
that
because
one-off.
That's been exhausted as well.
Yeah.
He's done that like 2 or 3 times over the past year now. So I'm disappointed that Rashford's injured, mostly because I like Rashford and I think he's their best player right now.
Yeah.
But also because that gives Solskjaer another excuse. But I don't think the owners are going to follow through beyond this season if he doesn't manage whatever he's hoping to manage.
Right. I mean, I'm surprised actually they coughed up the money for Fernandes, and it's freaking irritating the kind of add-ons that they negotiated into the contract. So the actual fee is a 55 million with a 25 million in bonuses split into 5-5-5s.
That's euros or pounds?
I it's euros.
Okay.
And so the first 5 million is number of appearances. We know he's a starter. That's going to happen. Then it's about league position, not happening for United currently. Maybe they can rescue it towards the end. Then it's about winning the league.
What's the league position they're targeting?
Top
for that
four.
One? Oh, okay.
Then it's to finish number one. That's not going to happen.
Okay.
To finish winners of UCL, not going to happen. That's 10 million saved right there. Like, how stupid can Lisbon be to accept those?
And this is for this season's ending.
This is for this season's ending.
Well, I guess they just put that as like long shots, but I'm assuming they were just trying to get that up to that 65 million mark.
Right.
And it's so annoying, the negotiations and all. I stopped reading after a while. I was like, I'm just going to wait for the announcement. If it happens, it happens. Otherwise, not. Otherwise, overall, the transfer window was slightly weak for the English Premier League.
By that, you mean Chelsea.
Well, Chelsea, yes, it was a whimper because their ban got lifted. They worked so hard to get that ban lifted and
it was a
happened.
Statement, okay?
Okay, I'll take the statement. City didn't end up getting anyone. Yeah. Liverpool, like literally the first day of the transfer
Minamino.
Window, they got Minamino for a steal. Absolute steal.
Single digit.
And it's those players that are going to decide Liverpool's... Championship is kind of in the bag, but like generally they're good fortunes. It's like the Oxes and the Minaminos now.
Right.
And those are the kind of players who will determine Origi, for example, right? Because these guys do get injured. Obviously, they play in day in and day out. They have the heaviest schedule in the league.
Right.
So it's understandable that Mane is out for some time, Salah's out for some time. So it's the players who slot in those guys' replacements. And if those guys are 7 million players, oh my God. I mean, Liverpool's absolutely murdered it, dude.
Yeah, man. I mean... Milner personified exactly what you said for me.
Mm-hmm.
And now freaking Klopp doing what he's doing, he's expanded his Milner component into multiple players.
Yeah.
The Origis you mentioned, the Minaminos, the Oxes. And Oxes no...
Shaqiri, one guy I mentioned.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Oxes no slouch. I think in the top six, he can slot into the first team in any of those top sixes.
Of course, yeah.
Yeah, and the fact that with Fabinho now returning that he doesn't necessarily have place in a starting lineup is insane. But...
Yeah.
Even Origi, like, he'll turn up, start a random cup game, and he'll score, like, 4 goals.
Yeah.
Like, freaking irritating, man. So
the drive with this team is kind of unbelievable, right?
Yeah.
And it's beautiful to see them sustaining that level game in and game out. Because at this point, what they're, like, almost 20 points on top of City.
22.
Yeah, 22 points on top of City. And they're still playing games with the highest intensity, right? And they don't show any signs of slowing down. Albeit, it's only been January. Maybe February onwards, the focus becomes less on the Premier League and more on the Champions League and stuff. But given the squad they have, I see no reason why they can't play full strength every 4 days and still murder it.
Yeah, I mean, that's actually almost irritating because I... think the Premier League is the best because they're so competitive. But this guy's just rewriting records left, right, and center. He is pooped on Guardiola's bald head.
Wow.
That is what's happening. I mean, to the point that Guardiola has said that Liverpool are not only winning the Premier League, they're winning La Liga, they're winning the Bundesliga, they're winning this, they're winning that. And that's so arrogant, that's so disrespectful. But
that's him. Yeah. Win or lose, he's going to be that. I mean, that's something you have to get used to, man. Even with Mourinho, for example. Like,
no, but Mourinho's nice and chill. I mean, there was this really...
What?
I mean, so he was a special one, Chelsea first time coming. And then he became the happy one, Chelsea second time coming. And now at Spurs, he's the sensible one. In his own words.
Yeah, but for how long? I mean, wait for a bad transfer window and then see.
Oh, talking about transfers, I mean, we'll get to Spurs transfers in a bit, but there was this really typical Mourinho-esque thing that happened with the game against City,
mm-hmm.
where Raheem Sterling was already on a yellow. And they...
No, wait, save it. We're gonna deep dive into the game soon.
Right.
So save it for that. Just to wrap up the transfer bit, I think the undisputed winners across Europe were Inter.
I mean...
And that scares me so much. So much. So they got Eriksen for 21 million.
Yeah.
Or whatever it was.
Right. Like, he was in the last 6 months of his contract. So...
Regardless, who gets Christian Eriksen in his prime? He's what, 27, 28 years old?
Right, right.
For 20 million?
Yeah. In a Antonio Conte rugged team.
Oh my God. And they also got Victor Moses and Ashley Young. Of course, they're not decent enough for the Premier League, but for Conte's style and for the Serie A,
right.
They're excellent buyers.
Right, we all 1. Know.
1.5 million for Ashley Young,
yeah.
500,000 for a loan for Victor Moses.
Right.
They're wingbacks. He's been crying about his wingbacks. You
right.
gave him two decent wingbacks.
Right.
You gave him Christian Eriksen.
Yes.
Lukaku is killing it. Martinez
yes.
is killing it.
Yeah.
Sensi's. Oh my God, I'm so scared, dude. I'm so scared. And I mean, since we're on Serie A, I just want to give a shout out to Ciro Immobile, man.
Yeah, it's so weird. Like, he does the exact opposite of his freaking last name. He's so mobile than him, than his immobility.
I got those last name jokes like 4 years ago. But yeah, he's on 25 goals right now
26.
For the season. 26 goals for the season. 5 more than the closest competitor, which is Lewandowski.
Right.
He's, I think, 7 or 8 ahead of Cristiano Ronaldo. I'll tell you how bizarre this is. Cristiano
yeah.
Ronaldo has scored in his last 9 or 10 league games. Continuous.
Like his 2020 has been crazy.
The new season's been crazy. For the past, he got that injury in the that month
correct,
and a half
correct,
in the
correct.
Middle was a dipper. But
right.
the past 9 or 10 games, he scored consecutively,
right.
including braces.
And his first hat-trick for you.
And a hat-trick.
Right.
And Immobile is still like 8 goals clear of him.
Damn.
And Lazio, because of this, is completely gone under the radar. They had a couple of games in hand. Maybe that helped. But they still have a game in hand. If they win that, which I think is this weekend or coming up very soon,
yeah,
they're going to be two. They're going to leapfrog Inter into second place, and they're going to be 2 points behind Juventus.
Damn.
So that's a firing Immobile,
yeah,
plus a strengthened Inter, 2 and 3 points behind Juventus.
Right.
I'm so scared, dude. I am so scared. You have no idea.
Fire,
I feel like Serie A is kind of... It's getting there now. For the especially during these Juventus this Juventus run of championships, it was kind of boring. It was very monotonous.
Yep.
The same two or three teams were doing it.
Right.
But now to see Atlanta and Lazio, yeah, and Inter do it, I feel like it's picking up its pace. And hopefully in the next 2-3 years, 4 years, it's gonna leapfrog at least the Bundesliga in terms of football. If you know what I mean.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, Atlanta has had like some 3-4 matches where they're winning 5-6, 7-0.
Atlanta's in the Champions League. I never thought I would say this statement out loud. Atlanta is in the Champions League.
Right.
They're going to be in the Champions League again next season.
Right.
Their coach just won the Serie A Coach of the Year.
Beautiful.
Very well deserved.
Yeah.
And I'm happy. I'm just happy there are more teams in the Serie A just killing it. As long as they're second, third, fourth, and fifth.
Yeah, I mean, it's so cruel. Like, you guys are stealing, albeit Italian managers, but they're doing their thing in the Premier League, and then they just go to the Italian League. So, maybe you guys
they do their thing in the Italian League, they come to the Premier League,
then
they
come back.
Yeah, that's what's happening. Okay, so enough of the transfer window. I think I just wanted to hear your thoughts on Bruno Fernandes and what you think is going to be the outcome there. Let's just jump right in and just do a quick review of the game week that just went by. And by that, I don't even want to talk about any of the matches except for Spurs and City. So let's just jump into that.
Okay.
Speaking of Spurs, regards to the transfer window, Eriksen's gone, obviously.
Yes.
But I think Mourinho did a good enough job to contain that situation and
yes,
also make sure that his absence would not be felt on the field too much.
Yep.
He would obviously play him, I think, a little more than Pochettino did during the end, but he would throttle his minutes or he would just introduce him later on. They made Giovanni Lo Celso permanent.
Yes.
I think that's a great idea.
Yes.
And they also got a new guy, Bergwijn.
Yes, Stefan Bergwijn.
Who scored a screamer.
I mean...
Absolute screamer.
Yeah, that chest and volley didn't give the defense a chance. I think it was Otamendi and Fernandinho, and they had no idea.
No one could do anything in that situation.
Yep.
Because you don't expect someone to make that touch and make that shot in his position where he was in the D.
Right.
So it just came out of the blue. I'll actually tell you, like, I was watching this game on the road, on my phone, Hotstar Zindabad, and I'm watching this game. It's obviously on mute because there are like four other people in the car and they're talking and stuff like that. And I just have it here. And suddenly my eyes just go to the screen and I happen to catch the chest down and the volley shot.
Right.
And my reaction was so bizarre, so absurd that four other people in the car just stopped talking and looked at me like, Vikram, what happened? I was like, I can't even tell you guys because you guys are not football fans. So you don't understand what I just felt right now. But this kid just killed it because... City was not playing bad, I want to say. They had possession, they had chances, all of that stuff.
Right.
Wasteful. Like, just completely wasteful, just shooting here and there.
Right.
And, yeah, bites them in the ass immediately.
I mean, it's so weird. Jermaine Janus talk about sour grapes, but he was like, it's not like Spurs played well. It's City should have finished off their chances. Look, I've seen Mourinho evolve. We all followed him at FC Porto, winning the Champions League. He comes to Chelsea, gets supposedly a war chest of money. He still does his thing. And while we had the Drogba's, Robins, etc., attacking like crazy, I've seen what Mourinho's plan A, and only one plan A, is holding, sucking up as much pressure as you can, keep it narrow in the center, let the wing-backs come ahead, we'll defend, and then just get them on the counter, just run their asses off. So it's almost like... It's almost like the yin and yang, Mourinho against Guardiola. And we saw that with their squads this match. And yes, City had their chances. Yes, Aguero missed. Yes, Sterling had such a bad season this year.
He's had a really bad season, yeah.
Yeah, so I mean,
bad compared to Sterling. Decent compared to everyone else. But like a really bad Sterling season.
Yeah, and even the players said this, that Guardiola's tinkering too much. Bernardo Silva didn't start. I think the only guy in form who started was Kevin De Bruyne. And he didn't have a great game.
Right.
So, Guardiola is reaching a saturation and blah, blah, blah. But this match in particular, I don't think City were unlucky. I think Spurs let City do what they do well.
Mm-hmm.
Zinchenko was finally back at left back. But... I don't know, with these guys, with Bergwijn, with a new Ali, he's like a new player all of a sudden since Mourinho's here. Lucas Moura is now finally first team. Kane is injured. So, and we saw these guys combining. We saw them, you know, do their thing. Hugo Lloris as captain is back, you know, between
that's
the sticks.
Huge.
Exactly. So, I think this just worked in their favor. They just worked so well. And Mourinho was up to his old tricks, man. He knows Guardiola in and out from the Barca days, from the Munich, from the Inters, all of that stuff. And yeah, that particular thing I was talking about where Mourinho goes back into being old school Mourinho.
Oh, the bar situation?
Yeah.
That was hysterical.
I mean, it's first of all, why would Gundogan take the penalty when you have Sterling, when you have Aguero, who are your regular penalty takers? You have a Kevin De Bruyne. Gundogan is not even first team. Why did he step up to take that penalty?
I mean, I'm assuming that that's what the plan is. If Gundogan's on the field, then he takes the penalty.
Which is plain stupid, right? And okay, so the follow-up and it in real time, it looked like Lloris clearly got Sterling down. But we know Sterling does have a habit of not just diving, but just the way he runs and the momentum. He had to go down.
Animating.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, and Sterling was already on a yellow card and Mourinho didn't know that. And we all assumed because the referee gave the pen. Mm-hmm. And when he goes to review, the pen was reversed. So Lloris saves it, done and dusted. Mm-hmm. Let's resume the game. So once the penalty was overturned, Mourinho sits down and then his assistant manager goes up to him and he's like...
Yeah, it's like he's like chaploos wo kar raha hai, kaan bhar raha hai uske, he's like throwing fire
just,
at it.
Yeah, he just triggered him.
And then the switch.
Yeah, and then he just jumped and he ran and he went to the fourth
and
official.
He was smiling, sipping water when he sat down. And then literally like 3 seconds, he was there in the assistant's face.
Yeah.
It was so much fun to watch. I love watching Mourinho, no matter who says what. I think the latter half of his United reign got a little sad.
Sappy, yeah.
Because it was just like whining. It's like Kejriwal and like the Delhi elections, basically.
Ouch.
But overall, he's just so entertaining. We need more people like him.
Totally.
And also, I think the standout player for me for Spurs was actually Harry Winks.
Yeah.
Harry Winks really throttled the City midfield by just cutting off the space and just like the effort he's been putting in. I think by the end of the season he will be like the player who is going to be a shoe-in to the Spurs squad starting next season.
Yeah, I mean, we know Mourinho is a big fan of his CDMs. It started with Makélélé at Chelsea, Lassana Diarra, etc. So Essien at one point in time. So yeah, I think Harry Winks has been like sort of the unsung hero for everyone else who's ahead of him.
Right.
No one sees what he can do. I didn't even know he played at the base of a diamond during POC days. I thought he was a little more attacking or at least in the center with Eriksen.
Yeah.
But yeah, he literally plays at the base of that diamond.
His size is not, it's not intuitive for you to
correct.
Think that he's a...
Absolutely.
But it's like Pjanic. Pjanic is playing CDM for Juve right now.
Right,
he's
right.
A more creative... I don't want to start. let's stay on point.
Yeah, and in fact, he was the one who was responsible for City's red card. He just ran across that City sort of, you know, midline, which is what Spurs were doing entire time. And they have runners. They have Lucas Moura. They have Dele Alli who gets into a poaching position. So this match was just beautiful to freaking see.
It was so much fun. It was very entertaining. It was the cap to the game week and City lost, which is always, I wouldn't say fun to see. I like a lot of the City players. I like the football they play, but I feel like they should be punished when they get into this mindset of monotony. So in that, if they're still eking out those 3 points playing like this, that would be annoying.
Correct.
So the fact that they're losing and then hopefully learning and becoming a better squad, it's just so much fun to watch. Spurs back in it, showing the world that Harry Kane's not be-all, end-all.
Right.
And maybe it's Jose Mourinho who's be-all, end-all. So before we wrap this up, let's just do a quick table review. Everyone's played 25 games now.
Yep.
Liverpool, surprise, surprise, is sitting on top at 73 points. With 73 points.
Out of 75,
obviously. How dare they draw? And so we have next City, who's on 51. Like we said, 22 points behind City.
2 points ahead of Leicester.
2 points ahead of Leicester, who still
hanging
haven't dropped
there.
Off, right? Even though that Chelsea draw was not expectedly supposed to be a draw, it was still a good game.
Yep.
And it's not like they're losing, right? They lost that game that led, I think it was against City, that City leapfrogged them into second place. And beyond that, they've actually been winning and drawing except for this Chelsea game, which was draw.
Yep.
Then next we have Chelsea, who are 8 points behind Leicester, sitting at fourth on 41 points.
Damn.
See, now I think what's happening with the City loss, and I think they drew a couple of games back as well, is that the top four, or let's say second to fifth, looks like 51, 49, 41, and 37.
Right.
Now that 37 is fifth place Tottenham. It's still a while back, but it's close enough to Chelsea to keep them motivated, right? And also new manager, new setup, all of that. So this second half of the season, you can expect them to go all out, right?
100%.
Chelsea seems to be tapering a little bit.
Yes.
They've just won one of the last five games, drawn three.
Yep.
So maybe then the whole narrative will shift around why didn't they do transfers in January, strengthen their squad and stuff. Right. But I still believe in the squad. I still believe in Lampard and just making sure the youngsters get enough of that experience. So that position might change, right? Leicester's still super close to City. So that could be, that's a coin toss, 51 points and 49 points.
Right.
City, although is, from a squad point of view, not a manager's point of view, but from a squad point of view, are used to this situation where they need to make sure that the second half of the season they follow through.
Right.
Leicester, not so much. Yeah. So it's going to be a test of Leicester's character and it's going to be a test of City's character in terms of whether they can sustain it.
Yeah.
What's interesting is that beyond fifth, it's Tottenham at fifth, Sheffield at sixth, United at seventh, Wolves at eighth, and Everton at ninth, and capping the top 10 is Gunners FC.
Yeah, can we do the points?
Yeah. So that's the interesting part, right? Yeah. So Tottenham is at fifth at 37. So it's 37, 36, 35, 35, 33, and 31.
Yeah.
6 points separate Tottenham and Arsenal.
Right.
Now, this is a toss-up.
Yeah.
And I would assume that it's going to be the Sheffields and the Wolves maybe who start dropping.
Right.
But it doesn't seem like it.
Exactly. I mean, Sheffield has been sort of like gone under the radar. Chris Wilder and his team. We have our number 7 in FPL who we get to, Lundstrom. But yeah, they're just hanging on. I mean, we're complaining and gagging about how great United transfer has been. Arsenal with Arteta seems like they're doing something right finally. Everton with Ancelotti finally getting Moyes keen to, you know, finally step up and do his thing. But no, I think Sheffield United is still up there, above Wolves, above Man United. And I expect them, yes, to taper off, but I think they'll hold on to at least like a top 6, top 8 at least.
And what about Wolves?
I mean, I don't know.
Because someone has to give way.
Right. Like, I love Rui Patricio. I love what he's doing with the team. Adama Traore has just been a beast this season.
Beast.
Yeah. And it's. I just hate that he has zero composure when he's taking shots. He just like swings his foot at it wildly.
Hmm.
But in terms of getting past players, that strength, that speed, running down the wing with Diego Jota and Jimenez in the center, I think that's been insane. To have Moutinho and Neves behind. So I mean, I'm a big fan of Patricio. I know you are too. We're talking about the keeper.
Yeah, Nuno Espirito. That's what I'm saying. I don't like Patricio that much. He's okay.
Nuno Espirito Santo. Thank
That's
you.
Like Portuguese racism to the next level, dude.
Ouch.
Jesus.
So I don't think that, United or maybe an Arsenal will necessarily leapfrog maybe two or three places. You can expect that from a Tottenham. You can expect that from a Mourinho team with a supposedly refreshed squad now. And they've weeded out the weeds. I expect probably Chelsea to drop to fifth. Maybe Tottenham will leapfrog them. Possibly United will challenge for a sixth, maybe a fifth, but that's about it.
So what's interesting to note is that Arsenal's last four games have been draws.
Yeah.
So, and they have one win from the last five games.
Right.
So it's not like they're leaking points or losing points too much.
This is a huge success for them.
Okay, yeah, I guess the Arteta factor is basically coming in the form of stabilization right now. And hopefully, or they're hoping that it translates into wins as the team goes on. I'm very curious about this Everton squad. I like Carlo Ancelotti. I love Moise Keane. I'm pretty sad that he left Juve. Yeah. But he's a kid. He has some discipline issues. To have a manager like Ancelotti on top of him is going to be huge. And apart from that, that team is also pretty good.
Right.
And like under the right tutelage, I think they should be able to challenge. So they've had a decent run. They have two wins and two draws in the last four games.
Yeah.
And hopefully they can go up as well. So it's looking pretty interesting. It's tough to say who, if any of these teams are actually going to drop out of the top 10.
Right.
Doesn't seem likely right now. And I agree with you. I think the Chelsea-Spurs switch is going to come soon enough.
Yeah.
But beyond that, Sheffield, United, Wolves, Everton and Arsenal, it's a complete toss-up, man.
Right.
And from the looks of things, from the looks of the past five games, it seems like Arsenal's going to be the loser out of that. But I would assume that this team, four draws in the last four games is an improvement for Arsenal.
To the point that I'm seeing articles like, can the fans finally forgive Mustafi?
That's too far away, dude. Let's not jump. So that's what the table looks like.
Yeah.
And I think the next game week's pretty bland in terms of the matchups. It's pretty straightforward. There's no nothing high octane, high juicy stuff there. So maybe the teams that are expected to get the 3 points get the 3 points. In that case, the table progresses as is.
Yeah.
So we'll see after that. Really quickly now, I want to jump to Fantasy Premier League. I know we've spoken a little bit about this in the episode already.
Yep.
But especially in regards to our Fantasy League table, the football corner table, which Ouch. Is in complete disarray right now.
Yeah.
So I am sitting in seventh place, as I have been for the past three or four game weeks. Actually, I ended up having a decent game week because I doubled down on Liverpool. I made Salah my captain. That's just the formula there.
Right.
Someone forgot to set their lineup, which cost them really dearly. I remember getting some hate messages from you last week, or maybe a little before last week, about how I'm totally losing my shit. I'm in a downward spiral and this and that. And yeah, I'm creeping up to you. You ended up not setting your team and you made Mane your captain.
Yeah,
was this one the double Liverpool game week?
Yeah, yeah.
Or the one before this?
No, the double game week. And before also. So it carried over to this.
Smart stuff, man. So you had Mane as your captain, who unfortunately got pushed to your bench. And who came up? I think Grealish or Cantwell, one of those came up.
Oh, shit.
So you had a miserable 43-point outing.
Less than an average.
This game week. And you were much closer to me than you were a week or 2 weeks ago. So thank you for that. Thank you for providing the motivation to me. One massive thing that I goofed up on. So by the way, I'm on a strict Hail Mary policy now.
Which is?
So each game week is going to be Hail Mary. So okay. you know the concept of Hail Marys?
Of course.
Yeah, so I'm just going to be Hail Marys. There's not going to be strategy like bit by bit.
Uh-huh.
It's just going to be like, this team is the team that's going to kill it.
Right.
So if it works out, I'm going to come closer. If it doesn't, I'm going to go further away.
Nice. So basically, you don't have enough brain space and you've reached a saturation and you're like, this is my last option. This is my last hurrah.
It is my last hurrah. I dispute the brain space bit. Because I understand that I can't gain 4, 4, 5, 5 points each game week.
Yeah.
I'm not going anywhere then. Right. I'll maybe come sixth from seventh, right?
At least you'll make it to Europa.
I'll make it to Europa, right? So it's going to be strict Hail Marys. So the double game week that Liverpool had, my Hail Mary was obviously Liverpool. I had Salah and Mane in my team and Trent. Went decent enough. Mane didn't do shit. Eventually got injured. And then last week, I put all my eggs into the Everton basket, which is the worst idea. So I had Holgate in my defense. I had Richarlison in my midfield and Calvert-Lewis in my strike. And then you know, so the Liverpool-West Ham game is going on. West Ham game is going on. All of this is happening and Vikram is sitting in a corner watching Everton play Watford. I was like,
that was a good game.
I was like, yeah, sure. I mean, for footballing, yeah. And then when you see that Watford's 2-0 up, like inside of 20 minutes, you're like, oh my God, I'm so screwed. The whole gate ke points have gone. Okay, so let's just hope that, you know, like these guys kill it.
Yeah, Richarlison.
And then Mina, of all people, gets a brace before Mina. Halftime.
Yeah.
I was like, God, dude, I think this Hail Mary situation is going to give me a heart attack by the end of it. So, it just turns out Holgate finished with 3 and Richarlison and Calvert-Lewin both finished with 2. And I made a big boo-boo, Shreyas.
Which is?
I thought I was playing the free hit, but I played my wild card.
Oh!
So now I'm kind of stuck with this team.
No wonder this is your by default hurrah. You're like, I made this move, let's call it my last move.
Dude, I literally, in my mind, I'm playing my free hit and then the team doesn't revert and it says wild card played and I'm like, I'm so screwed.
Wow,
I have three Everton players in my team, go Everton. I have Cantwell, which I hate. I have Ings, which is, I don't like that much.
He's killing it.
Not for the past 2 or 3 game weeks, unfortunately.
Yeah, I think after Vardy, now it's Tammy, Ings, and another player all equal for second place. Golden boot.
Yeah, but I think Vardy's been the consistent one.
Yeah, so Vardy's on 17, I think, and Aguero, Tammy, and Ings are on 16 each, I believe.
Oh, you're talking about real life? I'm talking about fantasy.
I'm talking about real life.
Oh, screw real life, dude. I'm talking about fantasy. Vardy's like up top by a mile, and then it's Rashford and Jimenez. And Tammy's there, Oba's there, Ings is there,
right.
Firmino, Aguero's really dropped off
because
he doesn't get the minutes, I'm assuming.
Correct.
But Ings seemed like a good one. I pulled Ings in like 4 game weeks back, I feel like. And
towards the end of his peak.
So he had 2 good ones after that. And I feel like the last 2 ones haven't been the greatest.
Right.
And I'm just so bummed because I can't revert now. I have 4.4 in the bank, which is good, but I'll just have to do like 1 transfer at a time.
Ooh, money.
So I feel like my eggs are still going to be in the Everton basket for next game week. Let's see who they're playing.
I mean, Ancelotti stopped smoking, right? So I think
Ancelotti never smoked. That's Sarri.
No. Even Ancelotti smokes. Like, his dad died recently, and which is why he quit smoking. This was during his Chelsea time, I believe.
Also, great news. Everton's playing Crystal Palace, so I have some hope, at least, for the next game week.
For a draw?
No.
Mason
no.
Holgate.
Oh, God. Why do I have Holgate in my team? And you know, when I got Holgate in, like, the biggest standout fact from my research on Ancelotti's first month was that they'd only conceded like 2 or 3 goals.
Mm-hmm.
So defensively, like, I think that was this task priority number one, to like just solidify the defense.
Right.
I was like, that's a shoe. An Italian manager knows his shit with defense. I was like, Holgate ko lao, le aate hain, theek hai, ek game sahi tha, uske baad bas barbaad yaar. So I'm not in a good position, man. How's your team looking?
I think it's so weird. Like, the first half of the season, I was thick into, I think, fighting you. You were, you know, top early on when we started. And I'm like, shit, this doesn't show well. I need to beat this guy. And I think you just, like, went so far down. I just stopped competing. And I sort of was resting on my laurels, so to say, quote unquote. And I don't know. I think I just got, you know, occupied, and it just didn't fall in my list of priorities, which obviously I'm back now, then this sucks. So I don't like where I am right now, but I have my wild card left. I have my free hit left. So this is going to be fun second half of the season.
So I was just going through your points from the last game week. You had 43 in total, out of which 31 are from your defense. And then your six players in midfield and attack got to 12 points. Yeah, it's just like 2-3-2-1-1-2.
Ouch.
It's hilarious. And obviously, like, that big unda with Mane sitting on your bench with
captain.
A captain. Who's your vice captain? Oh, you got Trent as vice captain, so you doubled
12,
up there.
Yeah.
Any advice for fantasy people out there who to pull in, who to not pull in at all? My advice would be not to double down on Everton. That's always a mistake. Especially if you're playing your wild card thinking that you're playing a free hit.
Yes. Experience is the best teacher.
Experience is the best teacher, man. I feel like in terms of defense, it's like Liverpool's the clear winner.
Pretty much.
Just get at least one, if not two. Getting into Trent and Robertson maybe allows you to get that assist. But as of right now, VVD is still above Robertson in points. So
even a Gomez would do absolutely great.
A Gomez is a bargain to pull by, yeah. And I think in terms of midfield, I would still stick to De Bruyne regardless. I think he's proven it in terms of this season.
Right.
Salah, it's easy between Salah and Mane right now because Mane is injured. But Salah, for the past 4 or 5 game weeks, has topped Mane consistently.
Yes.
Sterling is, according to me, a miss, an instant miss. Yeah. You cannot have him in your team right now because he's still 11.7 million.
Yeah.
And not worth the
way too
ROI.
Expensive for that inconsistency, yes.
What's going to be interesting is I have a good feeling with Richarlison right now. He's just come back from injury and
from Barca bidding 100 million for him.
And rejected.
Yeah,
and
very sternly.
So, right?
But I think he'll leave in the summer if the bids come in.
He might leave in the summer. That's plausible. But what's interesting about Richarlison is the Salah Mane effect. He's listed as a midfielder,
right,
but he plays right next to Calvert-Lewis up top.
Correct.
So
Calvert-Lewin.
Calvert-Lewin, sorry. And
you know your Everton squad well.
Yeah, I do. Obviously, clearly. So you know that he's playing up top. So obviously, him being him, there's a lot more chances of him getting a goal. I think the players that have kind of dropped off that create a lot of buzz, the Madisons and the Grealishes and all of that, right? It's even though in terms of total points, he's pretty high up. He's in the top 10 midfields. But I feel like his stock has dropped a little bit in terms of the recent game weeks.
Right.
I think Leicester, even though it doesn't, the points table don't represent it, they've hit a little bit of hiccup in terms of their offensive potency.
Right.
Vardy got injured for that game week and a half or something like that. And even though he's back now, it's going to be interesting to see how they rebound. And this is, to me, this is the toughest part of Leicester's season because they're 2 points behind City.
Right.
It's a character test in terms of whether they'll be able to sustain or not.
Right.
So it's either this gives me an idea for a Hail Mary. Should I just double down at Leicester? Put all my fortunes in the Leicester basket?
Yeah, please continue to think out loud. I'm loving this.
Should I just go Madison, Soyuncu and Vardy?
Soyuncu, yes. 100%. I think just seeing the way he's played, he's almost better than what Maguire was last year.
I agree, yeah.
So, and we have United fans showing us the finger. Fernandes, my ass. But no, I think going back to sort of shakeups, thanks to the transfer window and players coming back, I think in terms of goalkeepers, Alisson and Hugo Lloris, mm-hmm. Both would be good picks. But if you want to stay with consistency, stick with Burnley's and Sheffield's, which is Pope and Henderson.
Right.
They've been killing it.
I think also, we spoke about this when we were talking about Sheffield, but you mentioned Lundstrom.
Yes.
But I think it's also beyond Lundstrom. There are just so many good picks. Right. Fleck's a good pick. They're actually being consistent in terms of FPL points.
Yes.
Regardless of how on-field performance is. And again, Lundstrom, just because he's listed as a defender, he gets the clean sheet points or has chances to, but he plays higher up.
Yes.
I feel like, and even Baldock from Sheffield's defense, right? Yes. He's kind of crept up there as well.
Right.
He's, in fact, only 3 points behind Lundstrom in terms of total point haul.
Nice.
So that's completely under the radar. And then you see that suddenly this team's there. Wolves as well. Jimenez is sort of hitting his form again. There he went into a sort of a lull.
Yes.
Jota's back. He was out for quite a while.
Right.
So Wolves is a good sort of team to look at. And I feel like post this City game, Spurs is also a good candidate to pick out a couple of players and keep in your team.
The latest signing, Bergwijn, he's listed as a midfielder, but he's going to be playing up top.
Yeah, he's very clearly he was a winger. He was always going to be a winger. He's always played a wingers. And we saw this game and he was pretty involved in terms of the happenings. And because I always felt this, because Kane's not in the team, it feels like that entire unit goes up.
Correct.
With Kane, it just feels like once it's at Kane that it's over. And
target
then,
man. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's changed and that kind of helps this team open up.
Right.
And with Eriksen gone, more opportunity. So people
Absolutely.
Just slotting into different positions. I'm pretty interested in terms of looking at borrowing as an option as well.
Yeah.
Anyone from Chelsea you'd recommend?
I mean, this last match against Leicester, Rudiger getting 2 goals. The last time a defender for Chelsea scored a brace was John Terry 2013.
Right.
So I think Rudiger is the only senior technically recognized player in that Chelsea defense, minus SP.
Mm-hmm.
So I think, he's bit of a gamble here and there if you think it's an easy match. He's played 7 or 9 games consistently for the first time this season.
I thought you were about to say first time in his life.
Ouch. So he's showing up. But apart from that, you can still pick up Tammy's, Mounts, maybe to a certain extent Jorginho. He's only 4.9 mm-hmm. and he takes penalties, he takes free kicks. So if you're in a mood to gamble, he'll be one to look out for. But when I'm choosing my midfielders, I'm looking at players like Iwobi Perez for Leicester. Mm-hmm. Again, he's listed as a midfielder. He plays on the wing.
Yeah.
And Dele Alli. Dele Alli literally is like a substitute striker.
Right.
He's up there for the headers. He's up there for the link-ups.
Yeah.
And like I said, he's like a new player under Jose Mourinho.
Especially when they're falling back on defense. Dele Alli is literally pressing up where Harry Kane used to press up.
Exactly.
So that just goes to show how much attacking intent he has in the game plan.
Yeah.
And I agree with you. He's completely revitalized himself, or Mourinho has revitalized him, and he's playing a different game. And because now it's dependent on Ali, Moura, Son, and Berwing maybe now.
Yes.
Lo Celso sitting behind them.
Right.
He'll have a lot more sort of input in terms of the final outcome of the attack.
Correct.
So that'll be pretty interesting to look at.
Right.
I think smaller teams, I had a lot of... I relied on Rico, for example, from Bournemouth.
And he'd always be on a bench scoring 6-6-6-6-10.
Until
six,
I realized
12.
That and I started pulling him into my team and he actually gave me a good haul. But Bournemouth...
Maybe if Everton signed him, probably then he would have been first team.
Yeah, that'd get a special Everton 4 players in the squad consideration, man. Apart from that, like the Brighton-Watfords, I would avoid. Crystal Palace, even though it seemed like a good start, I would still avoid them.
Right.
West Ham, I would wait a little bit. They actually had a pretty heavy Jan window.
Right.
And
Snodgrass is turning up.
Yeah, and they have the legend Moyes at the helm now. So let's see how that... I can't put... put my finger on it, whether it's good or bad or how it's going, if it's an improvement or not. It's very all over the place.
Right.
But West Ham does have some really good potential FPL picks in their team.
Correct. I mean, you see that grittiness, like a Declan Rice and a Snodgrass and stuff.
Right.
So for them to turn up, Haller is scoring here and there, not consistently, but if you want, if you're running
so
out
much,
of...
I had so much faith in Haller.
Yeah, I remember this was...
I had him in my first week team.
Yeah, this is probably 10, 12 episodes ago. And you're like, I know him from Germany, this, that. Everyone's talking about Jovic, but there's this guy, Haller. And I'm like, who's this guy? Oh, like, God. Bro, you wait for him. We're still waiting.
Yeah, I'm waiting. I stopped waiting, dude. I stopped waiting. Again, Norwich, Southampton, maybe because they're attacking. So if they're not still winning games, they're still scoring goals a little bit. So maybe Ings in there as
Redmond,
well.
Redmond, yeah.
Arsenal, I don't know. No comment.
Huh? What?
No Arsenal? This team.
Excuse me?
Oba? Let's move on.
Oba to Barca?
Newcastle has had sort of a resurgence.
Yeah, that's so weird talking about Newcastle. I mean, yes, we're talking about FPL, but literally we're talking about, there's like takeover talk mm-hmm. and Mike Ashley just going on and on.
Well, that's like constant Newcastle though. Yeah, it's always there.
Yeah, and apparently there's some Saudi prince. Slave money. They're like, oh, we're going to get Benitez back and stuff like that. But I think Steve Bruce has done a really good job.
I think he's done a tremendous job. Yeah. Tremendous job.
They were flirting with relegation early on. They're nice in sitting in mid-table. Mm-hmm. And you've got those brothers. We got Jonjo Shelvey doing his thing.
I think the other brother only plays when they play United.
And scores.
But that's the thing with these pedigree English managers. Right?
Yeah,
they'll make sure you don't get relegated, but make sure you don't get to Europa League as well. It's like bahut zyada jayega, hamari phat jayegi fir. Mid table.
Right.
So. I wouldn't say expected, especially given the first 2-3 months of the season. It looked like this team was not going anywhere.
Yes.
And the resurgence there has been commendable. So kudos to Steve Bruce for that.
Yep.
I agree with you on the Burnley point. They're still solid defensively.
Pope, man.
Pope and then the Mies. And then their entire defense, I think, is pretty good.
Right.
So even if they don't win, there's a good chance they'll get a 0-0 draw or something like that. Or like a 1-0 scrape through to 3 points.
Yeah, I think current crop of managers, Sean Dyche is the longest serving manager now in the Premier League.
Yeah, he is. And rightly so. I mean, he's doing great things with that team. That team always feels like it's threatening to burst into the top 7, top 8. It doesn't look like it right now, but let's see by the end of the season. I wouldn't be surprised if they're close enough to the top 10, top 8 by the end of it.
Right.
Apart from that, United, I mean, I want to see another couple of Bruno games to actually see if he's worth it or not. He's 8 million, I think he starts with.
Yes.
So that should be interesting. I would consider him if he plays more attacking and less defensive. If he plays defensive, then obviously that's a no-go because, well, he's not going to get into the points.
Yeah.
And it's not like United is keeping a lot of clean sheets.
Right.
I think that's pretty much it. City, we've covered. Liverpool, it's pretty standard. It's pretty obvious who you want to pick there. And it's safe to say that Liverpool's not in the resting mindset because they've taken the stance of hum FA Cup mein under 23 khila rahe to mere ko rest karne ki zarurat hi nahi players ko, which is great. I commend Jurgen Klopp there and for standing his ground and not buckling under pressure or anything like that. And to the point where he said that, listen, it's the under 23 squad playing. It makes no sense for me to go and coach.
Yep.
Their coach should be coaching them because that's stupid.
Right.
No other coach approaches it like this, I feel like. Because they just buckle under the pressure, the media pressure or whatever the peer pressure it is. This guy's just standing. He's like, you idiots. You did not get any footballing brains to decide the schedule. You got business people to decide the schedule.
Yes.
I'm not going to play my team. Screw the FA Cup. Here's my under 23 team. They'll probably still win.
Insert Origi.
So, kudos to Klopp, man. He's handling this like a pro, like a champ.
Right.
And I'm just loving Liverpool this season and what they're doing. I want to say they deserve what they've done in terms of the points all they've gotten, but it's kind of killed
the Premier League as a whole.
But it's just so much fun to watch them.
Yeah, I think they...
City did this also like a couple of seasons ago. Last season was fun to watch because of the 1 point gap.
Right.
But I'm just so happy for Liverpool and Liverpool fans. They deserve it. They've seen some tough times.
Yeah, that's true. I mean, I think the last time they won the league was none of us were born then. But I don't know. I think more than Liverpool, more than fans, more than squad, I think Klopp deserves this.
Yep, 100%.
And this is just an extension of who he is as a manager. It extends to his squad, the fans. The fans are already up there, we know. And yeah, we can have these one-offs. But for him to do this after Guardiola did his thing with City. City was still little puppy dogs in Europe, in the Champions League. They never got through the quarterfinals.
That's true, yeah.
Whereas before he went on his insane run for this 22 points, dropping only 2 points thus far, they already made 2 Champions League finals, winning one out of them.
Yeah.
What if it reaches a point where they wrap up the Premier League in the next 5 to 10 game weeks?
They can win it by March 21st.
Which is 2 months away.
It's absurd.
Yeah. And I mean, that's not even 2 months away. That's a freaking month and a half in a way.
And this is assuming City and all those guys win all their matches.
Right.
So if they drop points, then it would be sooner.
Right. Like this guy's going to probably, I mean, hypothetically be arrogant, start playing under 23s in the Premier League and start doing Champions League left, right and center.
But that's the beauty of the squad. He doesn't need to.
Yeah, exactly.
Because the squad depth is so, it's so I don't even know the word, but like tactically done,
yeah,
that he can rest his Salah, right, still get the win, right, and get Salah in and rest Mane that game, still get the win, and right, make sure that the first lineup plays in the Champions League games and all the knockout games.
Correct. I mean, it's so weird. Like, we always talk about how winning teams grind out victories. They have squad depth. They manage their injuries. We've seen Firmino injured, no problem. We've seen Fabinho injured, no problem. Now Fabinho's back. So it's just insane the levels that these guys have reached. We always talk about how Van Dijk and Alisson together were the missing pieces. Yes, they got their Champions League, but I think the sum of the parts greater than individual sum is taken to beyond with Jurgen Klopp and his project at Liverpool. And yes, if I was a Liverpool fan, I'd be jizzing every day.
I agree. And you know, the beauty of it, if you'd want to contrast it with City's approach, is that City has a backup who's world class. Right. So the whole Mourinho comment of City A team and City B team actually winning.
Second, yeah.
Liverpool B team cannot actually win.
Yep.
Right. It's made up of the Oxes and the Shaqiris and the Minamitos and the Origis and stuff.
Right.
But the quality that they provide and how they fit into that Liverpool system allows, this is true depth.
Yeah.
Right. It's not like I'm just going to accumulate three superstar wingers, three superstar forwards, four superstar midfielders and four superstar defenders. That's not what they're doing.
Absolutely.
Like a Gomez is coming in sitting because Matip is injured.
Correct.
Right. Like he'll figure it out. So tactically, it's very well put together, this squad.
Yeah.
And therefore, it's actually one squad and not like two distinct individual squads like Manchester City sort of done. Like you mentioned, Bernardo Silva's on the bench.
Yeah, which is just plain stupid.
But it's understandable because he has Riyad Mahrez and Sterling. He has Sané injured. Like these guys are like all world-class, like top-tier players. So I think that's the beauty of this Liverpool squad assembly, right? And just strengthening with the 7-10 million buys and just having them come in motivated, know what to do your job and just get out of there.
Yeah, which is, I mean, so weird. You talking about how these backups turn up every single time. Almost you have Shaqiri, who's relatively a senior player.
Mm-hmm.
He never makes first team. And then you have Origi, who's young and he never makes first team. And they're just showing up every single game.
Yeah.
Every chance they get to play, they're killing it.
Yeah.
So, yeah, it's kind of, I mean,
I think to me, if you take like the past 3 or 4 or 5 years and the obvious standouts in the Premier League are this Liverpool squad and the City squad from maybe 2 years ago.
Correct.
I would say this squad, hands down, is so much better.
It is better, and it's so weird. It's like selling Coutinho a few years ago was almost like a catalyst, and I was afraid of them doing something similar to a losing Torres and a losing Suarez for insane amount of money.
Right.
They went and bought Carroll and Henderson. Okay, yeah. Henderson's captain, but they just wasted money.
That's true.
To lose Coutinho for 100 plus million, 140, 150 million, to invest that by the most expensive goalkeeper, now the second most, fuck Arita Balaga, to get Van Dijk in a freaking Jan and not in a summer transfer window.
Yeah.
It's just insane the way these guys scout. It's insane the way these guys chase targets. They buy players out of nowhere. Minamino cuts, Van Dijk scores in the Champions League group stage. Voila. Welcome to Liverpool.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I think that whole setup is just a well-oiled machine. Jurgen Klopp sitting at the driver's seat. He's got a decent owner or a decent board to back him up. They're absolutely non-interrupting. Like we were talking about how business people, probably Ed Woodward is saving the 10 million and renovating his house because it got burgled last couple of days of the championship.
They got attacked, buddy. Attacked.
Sorry, excuse my French. Yeah. But it just seems like everything just seems so freaking natural and easy. And when you put in those hard years of work, year after year after year, this is the result of that. So,
the good part is, or the very promising part is that when he came, this is the plan he laid out. He's like, listen, give me 2-3 years and then let's start talking and I'll get you what you need.
Right.
And he's on the brink of doing everything that he promised and more, right? So 2 finals is no joke.
That's Zidane level.
Yeah, and dominating the league at the same time. Yeah. I wish to God he wins the Champions League this year, even though Juve is in the mix. If obviously Juve is my preference, but if Juve is knocked out at some point, I want Liverpool to win the Champions League. I want them to get the Champions League and the Premier League double. And I want their under 23s to dominate FA Cup till they're allowed to, and then for them to take the FA Cup so they have the treble in their bag. And then it's like his legacy is complete. He can go coach in the Germany national team, kill it there. He's so good, man.
Yeah, I mean, it's going to be super interesting to see. We spoke about City possibly struggling against Zidane's Madrid in the Champions League. We have Chelsea Munich, that's going to be tough. We have Spurs Dortmund, that's going to be so much of fun. Liverpool are playing Atletico Madrid, and Atletico Madrid are no slouches.
They aren't, but they're not having the best season, man. Trippier just is going into surgery now.
Oh,
I feel like he was doing pretty well for them, but we know Simeone and what he can do. He, for all we care, he'll just run out on the pitch, slide tackle someone, and then just walk back and be like, huh? So it's going to be a tough game, but yeah. Liverpool are clear favorites to win that game for sure.
Right.
It's going to be fun. I can't wait for Champions League to begin, man. It's a lot of interesting narratives lined up. I'm most excited to see Dortmund right now because Haaland, obviously, and Jadon Sancho is sort of hitting his stride. Marco Reus is killing it.
Yes.
Mats Hummels is going to just doing his own thing. Yeah. So it's going to be a fun round of fixtures for the Champions League.
Yep.
All right. So that wraps up this episode. Fun episode. Best of luck for FPL next week, Stress. Hope you set your team so that I can't hear these excuses anymore.
Sure.
You're still like 20 points ahead of me. I don't know what I'm cribbing about.
32 points.
32 points? That's one game week for me, man. One Hail Mary and then you're behind me. So let's see how that one pans out. Again, we'll catch you guys next week. Hope you guys enjoyed. And you can catch us wherever you get your podcasts or on social media @MunchesSports. Bye-bye.
Hala Madrid.